Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Governor-elect Mike Dunleavy's transition team includes former Republican Governor Sean Parnell, who will provide input on the proposed natural gas pipeline project from the North Slope. As Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports, Parnell is part of a transition team that'll help initiate the new governor's priorities.
Governor Bill Walker has made advancing a gas line one of his signature efforts. But it will be Walker's predecessor that Governor-elect Dunleavy's transition will be turning to as a special advisor on the project. Transition Chairman Tuckerman Babcock says Sean Parnell is well-positioned for it. The announcement echoed at a press conference Friday in the hangar at Security Aviation in Anchorage.
No one knows more about the project than the former governor. Sean Parnell and his previous work on AKLNG moved the project along to a point it had really never reached before, and he stands ready to evaluate where we are as we move forward and advise the governor-elect.
Babcock also announced Dick Randolph will advise the transition on constitutional amendments. He led the effort to abolish Alaska's income tax in 1980. Dunleavy has supported guaranteeing permanent fund dividends in the Constitution, and he suggested the state should limit revenue for state government in the Constitution. Dunleavy announced the Transition Policy Council will have two co-chairmen. They are John Moeller, a Juneau commercial fisherman who served as senior rural affairs advisor to Parnell, and Brett Huber, who managed Dunleavy's campaign and will be a senior policy advisor in the administration. Moeller says the transition will examine the role of the Tribal Advisory Council formed by Walker. Moeller notes that Dunleavy has proposed a rural sub-cabinet that could serve a similar objective. Huber says Alaskans can provide their ideas about how to implement Dunleavy's agenda.
We're already hearing comments from Alaskans on how best to help put this plan in place.
Alaskans can submit their ideas through the transition website, GovernorMikeDunleavy.com. Dunleavy says much work needs to be done in the next 3.5 weeks.
We have a very short window, a very short time frame to do this.
Dunleavy will be sworn in on December 3rd. In Anchorage, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Reduced visibility due to blowing snow is forecast for highway summits north of Fairbanks. A National Weather Service issued advisory forecasts wind gusts of 30 miles per hour over higher terrain, together with new snow. Fairbanks saw an inch of accumulation overnight, and Weather Service meteorologist Joe Kristen says more snow is expected.
We're looking at somewhere between 4 to 8 inches, probably higher amounts north of Fairbanks, around 4 inches for Fairbanks. The next couple of days.
Mixed precipitation in areas along the Alaska Range and farther south is making roads slippery, prompting travel advisories. Golden Valley Electric Association customers will get refunds this month, either in the form of a check in the mail or as a credit on their bills. GVEA President and CEO Corey Borgeson says the capital credit payout totals $9.3 million, the most ever.
It's a historic amount.
Golden Valley's Board of Directors approved the capital credit refund during an October 22nd meeting. The nonprofit electrical co-op periodically pays out refunds to members from margins or money left over after expenses. Borgeson says the payouts normally reflect margins from 25 years ago.
This year, the board authorized returning capital credits that were earned in 1993, and 25% of the capital credits that were earned last year in 2017.
Borgeson says the margin money also helps pay for projects and maintenance.
The money that we keep, and we keep it for 25 years, allows us to have kind of equity on a borrowed basis so that we can invest in more reliability, more poles, do expansion, make sure our trees are trimmed from the lines.
Borgeson says this year's larger refund is due to Golden Valley's healthy fiscal condition. A GVEA news release issued Friday says the board authorized the early partial payback of the 2017 capital credits because of what it called significant operating margins totaling $20.1 million.
Golden Valley has been able to create reserves that are significant enough that we feel that we can make extra gains at giving back capital credits. We've been able to get our equity up to 30%, so our balance sheet looks healthy.
The news release says any revenue left over at the end of each year after expenses is allocated back to members based on the amount of power that a customer purchases that year. So bigger customers get bigger refunds. The release says customers who are due refunds less than $100 will get a credit on their November electric bill. The city of Fairbanks has retained two lower 48 law firms to advise it on potential legal action against companies that produce perfluorinated compounds contained in firefighting foams that have contaminated groundwater in several areas around the city. As KYC's Tim Ellis reports, the city hopes to recover nearly $4 million spent over the past 3 years addressing the contamination.
Mayor Jim Matherly says city officials hired the two law firms to help them develop a strategy on how the city can build a case that the companies found liable for the contamination should compensate the city for the cost of dealing with it.
They're going to take a look at our case, take a look at the foam issue and the contamination issue. They'll talk to us, talk to our legal department.
Matherly says City Attorney Paul Ewers recommended hiring San Francisco-based SL Environmental Law Group and New York-based Kennedy and Madonna because they're experienced in litigating contamination cases. A city spokesperson says the two firms took the case on a contingency fee basis, so they'd only get paid if they win the case and recover damages. The mayor says the lawsuit would target the 3M company, the Minnesota-based firm that manufactures the compounds known by the acronym PFAS. It's used in, among other things, the fire-suppressing foam that firefighters have for years used in training.
The city was using that foam for about 20 years, between 1985 and around 2005.
The move towards suing the manufacturer is good news, says Dave Berry. He lives in one of the neighborhoods where the city has found PFAS groundwater contamination, but he and others say they wonder what took the city so long to act.
This is something we asked that they joined in a year and a half before that, I believe, and they turned a cold shoulder toward us.
Berry says he and other affected residents think the city hasn't focused enough attention on the problem and hasn't adequately helped them, especially those suffering from health problems they believe were caused by the contamination. And he says they'd like to be more involved with the city's efforts to recover damages from the manufacturer.
They really need to look at who they've damaged in this negligence and work with us to go after the chemical companies.
The nearly $4 million the city's paid so far was used to clean up sites and to cover the costs of connecting 44 properties in areas that rely on wells to the local water utility system. It's also paid $2,500 stipends to those property owners to help them offset their water payments. Matherly says he's not sure, but he thinks Fairbanks is the first city in Alaska to pursue litigation in response to PFAS groundwater contamination. It's turned up here more than any other city in the state, at least so far, and the mayor says city officials are asking the state for more help.
I talked to, the Attorney General about this. I told Governor Walker about this. It's in our legislative priorities, too, to give to the Interior Delegation that we want the state to take a good hard look at this statewide because we're not the only city using this. It's all across the nation.
A recent study by the Environmental Working Group and the Social Science Environmental Health Research Institute at Northeastern University says PFAS pollution has been reported at 94 sites in 22 states. The study says PFAS has shown up in the tap water of some 16 million people in 33 states and Puerto Rico. Other estimates say up to 110 million Americans may have it in their drinking water. The chemicals have been linked to kidney and testicular cancers, low birth weight, thyroid disease, and pregnancy-induced hypertension. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.